That's great. Then Christine is the only one that's not here. And to me, my criteria is that the people who wish to sit on this committee with us are passionate about healthcare, and that they'll follow the criteria for program committee member volunteers. And we were having a discussion about that if you serve on a nonprofit board or whatever, you can't, your organization can't apply for a grant with us. And is it true that it's for a year following? Is that new?
Yes, so if they're applying, I remember right, if they're applying for a grant, they have to resign from the committee if they're already on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think it's a year that they would have to.
Right,
right.
Okay, that was it. Well, and I've been on another healthcare district board in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we had a program committee there, and two of my program committee members now are on the district board. So it's a way to learn how districts run and be not just an advocate for our grantees, but for the mission of the district as well. So I know that Tom Thetford said you had to leave right now.
I just have a meeting at 5.
That's fine. You want to give us a 2-minute rundown of
sure.
who you are?
I'm a recently retired healthcare executive. I retired as a senior executive with Quest Diagnostics. Before that, I was at Quest for the last 5 years. Prior to that, I was at Yale University heading up Yale New Haven Medical Group, a 900-doctor physician group. Before that, I actually was in the Coachella Valley, in the Imperial Valley. I was at Clínicas de Salud, headed up their programs, and ran a 7-physician OBGYN group. Before that, I was actually briefly here in town for a while. I was asked by a physician who ran the smallest hospital in the state of California to fix it up, get the books in shape, get the people in shape, get it right, because he wanted to sell it. He knew who he was going to sell it to, when he was going to sell it. And that was Heart Hospital of the Desert. I came in for Dr. Sternley, helped him sell that to Eisenhower. Before that, I was at Western Medical Center in Anaheim and Santa Ana in operations.
So wow.
I've had about 40 years of healthcare management experience. I have an MBA in finance. I'm a,
wow.
a U.S. Army veteran and grew up on the East Coast. I have a number of relatives here in the Coachella Valley. And most of us are in the East Bay. On the east end of the valley. One of my brothers-in-law is a retired fire captain there. A sister-in-law is a retired firefighter. I have a sister-in-law here in town who's a pet groomer. And my roommate is my mother-in-law because my wife is still back at Yale for another year.
Oh.
As a dean in the medical school there. So that's what I do. I have 4 grown kids, all of whom are very successful, and that's my story.
Are you a Jersey boy?
Vermont, but I spent a lot of time.
I say you went to Mom and
I did.
I'm from New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey.
Yeah, I started there when I was still in the Army.
So I have 2 questions. One is, why do you want to serve?
I'm about, I get up about 4:30. I go to bed about 11. I retired 3 weeks ago. It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow. So I've got a lot of stuff, a lot of energy. I have a home on the East Coast, a home here. A lot of to-do lists, but I still have a void, and I've always worked in service. For the last 4.5 years, I've flown out of Palm Springs Airport every Sunday and usually return Thursday or Friday, so I'm home all the time. And I've worked in FQHCs. Growing up 20 years ago, raising our kids, I was with Riverside Hospice when I ran a medical group in Riverside. And was on the board, was the board president, so I've had a lot to do with boards. If you've looked at my resume, I've been a HRSA grant reviewer for the Health Resources and Services Administration. I've approved $4 to $5 billion of federal grants and worked in that. So I liked it, and as pointed out by Nick a few minutes ago, I just answered what I saw in the Desert Sun, and I need a lot to keep me going. Because
good for you.
I'm only gonna live once, I think.
So my second question is actually two-part, because one of them is going to be directed to Chris. In terms of the way the committee is set up, is that there's five members, three board members, and it's a total of five and three, right?
Correct.
Five and three, so eight. So if we have a candidate that we really like, the same, for example, Mr. Thetford, and if he's gone 6 months out of the year?
I'm a year-rounder.
Okay.
I relish the summers, the traffic's better, people in the restaurants know you. And I'm not afraid to tee off when it's 105. 115, I don't.
Okay, so here's my question to you then, is availability. We meet once a month, preferably just once a month, maybe the month of August off. So, and if we meet once a month,
It will be on the second Tuesday.
It's on the calendar, I make it happen.
Okay, very good.
I thought we were gonna change the second, from the second Tuesday.
No, we're currently the third Tuesday, we're gonna move to the second Tuesday.
Well, I won't be here in July and August. I'll attend by telephone in July.
Second Tuesday, 3 p.m.?
It'll be 12 o'clock.
Noon.
Yeah, we'll have lunch. At least you'll get some food, and please take a sandwich home.
Okay, those are my questions.
Great, any questions?
I have one, if I may. You heard us talking about building a mark fund of $300,000, but it seems like you have some really good experience in identifying possible funding opportunities and partnerships that maybe you can help staff with.
I think building it up is there's a number of facets to that. I think one of the things is that I think this group needs to always be looking at the return on investment. I heard a number of comments today that that's not a lot of money. But where I came from, $300,000 is a lot of money, and being able to show that we can do a lot with $300,000 is the only way to get $3 million granted this way. So I think there needs to be an ROI view of this, and to say, here's the return on it. We only got a little. If you could get about $5 million here, here's what we think we could do. And I was just speaking with the Career One people, because I know my wife, you think I'm a little type A, my wife's a lot more type A, and we need to bring a physician assistant program out here to the desert. She just set one up in Uganda, in Kampala, she's also set one up in Seville and in Singapore. And she was at USC when we went off to Yale 10 years ago. I think physician assistant education with an emphasis on three things: integrating behavioral health with primary care, making sure we've got the only PA program in the country that's committed to geriatric services, and one that requires people to have clinical Spanish. And Raul Ruiz, he'll be on board with that, and we'll get him as a strong voice in Washington for this.
Super.
So that would be where I think we need to go. And then 300,000 becomes a little bit, but I think, you know, it's steps, mm-hmm. I think in 3 to 5 years, a lot of things can happen. And we've got a beautiful combined community college, state college system, university center
here. Right
here. So we've got the magnet for it, and I think the ability to bring the East and West Valleys together is a good part of the mission.
Super, thank you, Tom.
Thanks. I'm sorry, I've got a meeting.
It's all right. I have one too.
So the process is that we're going to interview all of them and then finish, or should we just vote on each one as we go along?
I think we should, because there's five people, I think we can just talk to the ones that are here and then recommend to the board that they be approved.
Okay. So at the end, we do. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
And rather than, I know we kind of put him on the spot because we still hadn't figured out what we were going to do, but rather than go through the bio, can we just ask questions?
Power the structure.
Sure, okay.
Sure, that's fine.
I'll volunteer to go next.
Yes.
Okay.
My questions during the meeting.
Excuse me, what's your name?
Oh, Nicholas Behrman. Are indicative of the kind of inquisitive mind that I bring. I'm an ordained rabbi, retired. In communities where I served as a rabbi, I did bring Glens Falls, New York, for example. They were having drug issues and everything like that. And I was instrumental through the Clergy Association of setting up a Family Focus Month, where we actually brought teachers and social workers and volunteers together for a couple of seminars and publicity in the papers.
Mm-hmm.
I most recently was with the state of New Mexico doing strategic planning for information technology use. And that was involving working with agencies, coaching them to write their business cases for appropriation grants to get systems or to systems to do their agency work, and also work with them as they went through the project certification process. I'm a trained project manager. And we had questions like sustainability of the projects and what happens afterwards. Some of my questions would be, some of when new members, new grants coming in, some were ongoing. Do you have any guidelines of percentage of new projects of innovations versus ongoing operations? In some organizations that there's a conflict between the two, or a continuum that you want to develop. Do you ever have people get off of your support to their own independence? I mean, there's just a lot of questions that bring a question in mind to the table.
Well, I appreciate that you bring the inquisitive part of it, and then you could offer that as a committee member. My question to you is, why do you want to serve on this committee?
A couple of reasons. We actually moved, we were here 25 years ago. We moved away. I didn't get a chance to talk with them because I actually did some work for Sterling at the Art Institute. We decided to move back here for a couple of different reasons. The quality of life, healthcare. We lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and because of the economics of that environment, healthcare is not the best, even if you can afford it. So I came back saying, okay, what do I want to do as with this stage of my life? And I need to do something. I'm involved with the with Temple Isaiah in Palm Springs, heading up their social action committee, getting involved with the Mid Valley Interfaith Council. A few of us have just turned that group to be more aware of social concerns rather than just getting together and feeling good about being together. So when I saw the advertisement, I said, all right, let me see what's involved. Reading the packet and sitting through this meeting, you're doing a lot of good things. And so A, to learn what's going on, and B, to try to help in my own way to make it better, is the reason I would like to do this.
Let me ask you a question about, you mentioned working in a group. So how would you feel if this group were to recommend something and then that the board say, we don't like it, we don't want to fund that? How would you feel about that?
Well, I would ask a bunch of questions. I mean, it's not a question of fear. I would be disappointed if we had done our work and if staff had done their work. Then the question is why? Is it that the grant was not prepared properly? If there are no funds, I understand that. But one of the questions I had as I was sitting through, I heard one comment which I really liked. And a woman was saying that she learned grant writing through you and your process. So I guess the feeling is, where have we failed to prepare for this? Does that help?
Yes, uh-huh. Okay.
And one of the questions I have, I mean, I like the whole idea of preparing for careers, but I am also aware this is an interesting place, this Coachella Valley, with its extremes. And I'm thinking of what I call the TG3s, or TG to the third, thank God my career is over. Thank God I had the career. How do I thank God now? Mm-hmm. And of training volunteers, of training, I mean, there's no central area for training of volunteers except maybe to be greeters at Walmart's, you know, or that kind of stuffing envelopes at a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. But how do you, and I think this is part of mental health and part of health, how do you develop resources, human capital, so that people who are volunteers, so that not everything has to be dollars?
And I appreciate the fact that you have good questions about some of the presentations we received earlier, and I think that's what we're looking for, is people that can ask the questions here. I think today's presentations, many of us were familiar with the program, mm-hmm. so that's why we kind of went through them really quickly, but those are the questions that would strengthen the recommendation to the board, but ultimately the board is the one that makes the decisions, and we're a minority just by three. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure that there's an understanding, not to be any slight against this body of work, mm-hmm. but that if we do prepare by asking the right questions, and if we make a recommendation, we just hand it over, and at that point, we can't take it personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But okay.
And to your point too, if I might add, is that the volunteer community members will vote, but for the record, it's the board members that are on the committee that will be the only ones vote that will forward to the board.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments.
Well, and also to the point that the district had a program committee up until a year and a half ago or so, and it was decided to let the full board be the program committee, and then the full board decided that they wanted the program committee back because they wanted a more in-depth review of the grant programs before they got to the board. So this is, you know, our reason, and we had community members on the program committee in the past. So, you know, this is us reconstituting it and being able to have a deeper look so that the board can get on with the business of the board.
Mm-hmm. Right. I also like the listening programs that, yeah, I was very impressed with that. I would love to see more of that happening because in the west part of the district, people are coming in new, mm-hmm. and I was here and I came back. Of what you're doing, what's doing in the valley.
So. Thank you. Great. Thank you.
I'll go. My name is Thomas Smith. I live in Palm Springs, California. I'm retired from the U.S. Treasury Department, where I was a national bank examiner. I worked for the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. And during my career, I ended up being the examiner in charge for U.S. Bank Corp. I have undergraduate degrees in economics and management and a master's in administration. And then I also completed the nonprofit management program at the University of Pennsylvania. Some of the things in the Valley that I'm involved in, I graduated leadership Coachella Valley. So I sort of, I think today it's like, I think I've heard all these presentations at leadership from those organizations, and it was, I think, really noteworthy to see that those organizations are being funded, because I think that each one of them serves a unique role in the Valley. I also am involved in Rotary. I was president of my Rotary Club in Palm Springs. I'm currently assistant governor and the grant chair for our district, which is 5330, which is in the Inland Empire. And as grant chair, I basically work with the clubs in doing global grants and also grants that are not only international in scope, but also where the funds come back into our district. And the Rotary Foundation is a large foundation that has a pretty sophisticated grant process, I guess. And I'm part of the cadre for technical advisors for Rotary International in Evanston. And some of the things that I've done with that is reviews of grants in the U.S. and then also the grant making process in other districts. And then last year I had the opportunity to go to the Philippines in Manila and review their district operations. And then I've also been training teams recently in March this year to Brazil and a couple years ago to India. And so I've enjoyed the grant process and think that it's a very unique opportunity to be involved in something locally. And I think that my background gives an opportunity to provide input. And I guess as far as like where I see the grant process is, the things that, at least in Rotary, that we're looking at in Philanthro Fund that I was on the board, we're emphasizing community assessment a lot and sustainability. And I think that both of those are really key factors, and especially, you know, what is the community assessment of some of these activities, and is it something that the community is supporting and utilizing, not just, you know, like somebody says, well, this is something that we're going to offer to the community, but is the community using it? And what's the need in the community? And so I see that as a real critical part of the grant-making function.
Great.
So would you have a problem if this committee voted to recommend a grant and then the board said, nope, we don't want to do that?
Absolutely not. I mean, I'm big on structure, I guess. I worked for the U.S. Treasury, so my role, I understand, as a program committee is an advisor, and I think that there's always considerations at a different level of a hierarchy that influences decision making, and so it's like I view my role as making a recommendation. As the chief executive officer said, you know, it's like I understand that my vote really is that it's a recommendation, and then the voting members who are directors carry the recommendation forward, and things change. I mean, it's like, so sometimes, you know, things happen and you have different priorities, and that's not my role as a program committee volunteer member.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Okay,
Sam, you're next. Lucy, that's what we heard from you before as an applicant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I had applied for a position on the board some time back. I didn't quite make it. Anyways, my name is Luciano Crespo, and my wife and I moved to the Coachella Valley. Resided in Coachella back in 1981 on a job transfer from Delano, California, which I'm a native from that town, little town north of Bakersfield.
Very famous.
The reason we came down was because, as I said, a job transfer, and that was involving working with workers in the Coachella Valley, farm workers, basically. I worked in that position for about 14 years, and then I left that position to join Riverside County Mental Health as a behavior health specialist, emphasizing on substance abuse. And I applied for that position because it was looking for an outreach worker. And I figured, okay, I have a little bit of experience of doing outreach. And it turned out to be a position for a substance abuse counselor. And I started to do that work with Riverside County Mental Health, and I was put in charge of not only counseling, I carried a small caseload of clients involved in substance abuse, and I was also put in charge of the quality assurance program, which was to review charts by other counselors to make sure that they were in compliance, state compliance, federal compliance, paperwork, basically. And also, I was appointed to oversee providers that were funded by Riverside County Mental Health, private providers in the community to provide mental health services within the community. My job was to go in and to assess how they were doing in providing these services and their compliances, what they stated they were going to do in the grants. Concurrently with Riverside County, I was working with the Anderson Children's Foundation in Palm Springs. I started with them in 1993. And my job was to work with the panel, five other people, and we were to review all the grants that came in from the different organizations, nonprofits, and schools in the Coachella Valley. And then we were to decide which ones were going to get consideration for grant money. Then we were we had the job of deciding who was going to get funded based on the need. I did that for 24 years, concurrently with the County of Riverside. I retired in 2005 due to health reasons. I had kidney failure, and I was faced with a decision whether to continue working with some work, workplace verifications, or to retire and concentrate on my treatment, and I decided to retire. And since 2005, I've been retired, but I've stayed active to some extent, and I stayed active with the Anderson Children's Foundation. And so I really see myself as, although retired, I'm still active, and I'm really entrenched in the community. And I think that I can be an asset to this organization based on my experiences in the past.
I see that. You've had a lot of good experience.
Mm-hmm. I've known you for 3 decades, maybe.
Really?
So, yeah. Luciano, the two questions that I've asked previously of the other applicants. One is, we've been told that there will be a change in the time, the date, and the time of the meetings. Is that something that you're available to attend the second Tuesday at noon to participate in these meetings on a monthly basis?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And the other question is, would you have a problem, or how would you feel, is if you spent all the time and we have really good questions, and then there's a unanimous decision by this committee to recommend approval, and the board says, no, we don't like it. How would you feel about that?
Well, I feel that my job would be to evaluate, to assess, and to really be fair about the distribution, who gets funded and why, and the need. And there's a lot of disparity. And I feel that my position would be to advocate for the most in need. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, naturally, if I am advocating for an organization and it gets to the board and they say no, because I have to realize that they make the ultimate decision, of course, I will be somewhat agitated, not happy, but knowing how things work in any organization, I would have to adhere to the consensus. And if the consensus of the board is, no, we're going to go another route, fine, let's go the other route. There's a bigger picture to it, okay? So I wouldn't fight it. I would advocate it, but there's only an extent you can go, but you have to go with the consensus of the board.
Thank you, Luciano.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right.
So we have 5 candidates and 5 openings. Now, what is the status of SIDS?
We actually have 4 that we interviewed today, right?
Yeah.
So we have 4.
4 were present. Christine Anderson was not present, so. Mm-hmm.
Did she call or anything?
I spoke with her. She said she'd be available if anybody wanted to call her. She sat on the Desert Regional Healthcare Hospital Board with me for 3 years, and she's retired school administrator, and I just told her I would speak for her, thinking that we had five people and five openings, that she's well qualified. Do you feel like you'd like to speak with her?
I think, to be fair, I think we need to have the same process for everyone, whether it's by phone or in person. But because we are transparent, we want to make sure that we do that. So I want to make a motion to actually appoint the four that we interview. I think they all bring something to the board that would be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, I'll make the motion for that. That's my first step.
Okay.
I second.
I'll second. I agree.
We third.
Yes.
And that would be forwarding to the board for their full approval.
Mm-hmm. And so then how would
and
you
And the second is that we have one vacancy, so at that point, can we then have Christine call maybe so we can schedule an interview, either phone, whatever is more accommodating to her?
Well, and my thought is, as you're talking, is perhaps at the next program committee meeting, since we do have another slot to fill, maybe Christine could be present at that meeting. And then there was also Sid Rubenstein that has expressed interest as well.
What was my question was.
So maybe the two of
and
them could
if,
come.
If Sid also wants to be on the committee, I don't see with a problem having six people.
What is the rest, what is our
The process would be if we do exceed five, the current policy is five, so we would need then to bring that to the board for them to consider and then then change the bylaws accordingly.
Yeah, I asked Jeff that question, and he said if we wanted to have a six member, we would just recommend to the board to change the bylaws to allow six.
I don't know you. I know Christine professionally. I know Sid for a short time. I think both of them would probably know enough about the healthcare district to be good board members or committee members. Mm-hmm. But where do we draw the line? Do we just keep adding people? That's a concern to me.
Well, didn't we have 10 people on the program committee last go round?
We'd have nine. That was including two board members, so it was seven.
We have gone, and I think to your point, Director Galara, is that we did go through the policy committee process, and the full board approved the five community members. But there's been dialogue then, and so if I think it would be up to the full board if that was brought to the board to.
I think we should stay with
approve
five.
The change or not.
We should. I agree with Leticia about having the max. You know, we already stated that it would be five people. We should probably stick to that and then let the other two applicants
and
come and represent, and we'll see from those two which one can fill the fifth seat.
Maybe put a waiting list, so if we do have a vacancy, then they would be called on to find out if they're still interested.
Shortlist.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think, too, I mean, since there is still a fourth or a fifth slot, that, you know, if there are others that do come to the forefront in the meantime, you know, we could interview those people as well to fill that final spot.
Okay.
And at that point, we would have new committee members that they would also provide input as to who should be the eighth member of the committee that they would want to see it on board.
Okay. Great. Well,
okay. Thank you all.
We voted to.
So the May 28th board meeting at 5:30, you're welcome to be present there. The recommendation then sounds like from the committee would be to have the full board approve for the folks to show the program. So exciting.
So will we get an email reminding us
yes.
of May 28th?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
28th, 21st.
Meeting adjourned.
28th.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you. Yeah.